This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. And now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Peter said to him, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who it was who would betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. And so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. And if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. And if God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer, and you will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so, as previously noted, we are continuing a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And in this series, we are describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we are presently pursuing here at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to be authentic disciples of Jesus Christ is the church's primary mission. In fact, you may be familiar with what is sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 18, we read, "And Jesus came and he said to them," he had died and now he has risen and hasn't just yet ascended unto the Father, "but he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me, and so go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, being and making disciples at Holy Cross, we are attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose the primary focus of everything that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and invite others to join us in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to get a handle on the process, we've created a simple visual. The first step, as we covered last week, is to worship God regularly. That's the first step. The second step is to grow together faithfully. The third step is to serve others lovingly. And the fourth step is to mature in Christ continuously. And there's a certain interesting design about that Venn diagram where the center is the fourth step, but the fourth step takes you right back to the first step, because once you've done the first step and the third, second and the third and the fourth, you're not done. You just keep on doing it, maturing in Christ continuously. Today we're talking about that second step in the process, and that is growing together faithfully. Growing together faithfully. And notice that that step two begins with something, with the word together, that we grow together. Not alone in isolation, but we grow together in community. Indeed, all of us, interestingly enough, are created in the image and likeness of God. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but even God is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God is a community of persons, and we are created in the image and likeness of that communal God. And you might have noticed, if you've read the Bible much, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit do all things together. They create together. They sustain creation together. And together they, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they enter into covenant relationship with us. They love each other, which is a deduction that we take from the statement that John made famously in his first letter, that God is love. Well, how can God be love if God is only one person? Because you have to have an object. But prior to the creation of all things and the time-space continuum, the God who has always been, is now, and ever shall be, is a community of persons. And so the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Son. And so God is love. Not only love in an abstract sense, but love in practice. And then God creates and invites us into relationship with himself. And so just as the members of the Trinity do all things together, so God means for us to do all things together. Because we've been created in his image. Indeed, God means for us to grow together spiritually, not in isolation, but rather in community. Not always facing forward together as you're doing now, which is what we do in worship when God is the primary focus, but in small groups, in settings where we can see each other face to face and make an impact on each other for good. Indeed, Nicky Gumbo, a one-time vicar of Holy Trinity Church in Brompton in the Diocese of London, said that big things often happen in small settings. Big things often happen in small settings, and that's especially true when it comes to discipleship. one of my own professors who's gone to be with the Lord now, several years now, but he was a professor of mine back in the 1980s at Dallas Theological Seminary. And in his book, Living by the Book, he wrote this, you can impress others from a distance, but in order to impact others, you have to get up close. And it's by taking or making, it's by making a spiritual impact on each other that our lives are transformed. Indeed, I've always greatly appreciated the motto of Holy Cross Church, which is a motto that was here when I came in 2008. In fact, our vision and mission and core values have changed over the years, but the motto, we've kept it just because it's just so, I'm not exactly sure if you can improve on it. And you may be familiar with it because it's written on various different things, and I think it's even on a banner when you enter the church. But the threefold model is welcoming all, transforming lives, glorifying God. Welcoming all, transforming lives, glorifying God. And it's when our lives are being transformed, by the way, that God is glorified. When our character is being changed and when we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Dan Adler in the film The Heart of Man said this. He said, God isn't trying to get us to conform. Rather, God is inviting us to be radically transformed. And more often than not, real radical spiritual transformation takes place in small settings. Indeed, Jesus himself knew that. Indeed, Jesus met regularly with his disciples and potential disciples in small settings. You're familiar, he had 12 disciples, and he met with them regularly. And then, interestingly enough, there was 25% of that group of 12, Peter, James, and John, that he spent more time with or took them on special projects and to different special events and showed them things that he didn't show the rest. And then he met with the one. You remember in John chapter 4, the deep discussion that he had with a woman from Samaria. And so he understood the importance and the power, the transforming power of the small group. And the apostles continued the same process in their disciple making. Jesus passed it on to them and they continued it. There was large groups like the feeding of the 5,000, and Peter preached to thousands of people. And then there was small groups, and the bigger group was broken up into small groups deliberately to get things done, to be disciples and to make disciples of others. And so we read in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 41, and these who had been baptized by the apostles, verse 42, and they devoted themselves. Now that's really interesting. That kind of pops out at you. They devoted themselves. They didn't have one foot in, one foot out. The becoming disciples of Jesus wasn't one of many options that they might choose. Well, you know, yeah, we could do a little bit of that. No, they devoted themselves to it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And Luke goes on, and awe and wonder came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions. I mean, this is radical, wild. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as many as had need, and day by day they were attending the temple. That's a big setting. And breaking bread in their homes. That's a small setting. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so if we would grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, that process of growth and transformation will include growing together in small settings. Indeed, just this last Friday, I sat at the Schlotzky's. Boy, is that a good sandwich. I That was a good sandwich. I sat across the table from two guys. We were sitting right by the entrance there, and first half hour, we just kept catching up. And the second half hour, we were doing African Bible study around Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Right there in the Schlotskys, you know? And we weren't arrested. I don't even know if anybody noticed because we were so focused on what we were doing. Right? And just yesterday, there was eight of us or seven of us. And we did African Bible study around a passage from the fifth chapter of Luke. And then we discussed a little bit about a book that we're studying together called A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, right? The Holy Cross women will be doing a thing called verse mapping. They just got finished doing an eight-part study on the book of Proverbs. And then they were just this last weekend at some conference together, in the Word weekend, right? And eating together and talking together about it. And so step two in the process of being and making disciples begins with an invitation to grow together. Of course, this doesn't happen automatically. And so step two, stated in its entirety, is growing together faithfully. Indeed, spiritual growth and transformation doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't even happen accidentally. Indeed, those who are growing spiritually deliberately are deliberate and faithful about it. They do what needs to be done to grow. In fact, Gregory Boyle, in his great book, I highly recommend it. It was one of the best books I think I've ever read, called Tattoos on the Heart. But he said, the slow work of God gets done when we are faithful. The slow work of God gets done when we are faithful. And growth and transformation takes time. And that's why we must be faithfully devoted to it. As someone has written, people who are serious about something always make room for it in their schedules. And so those who grow spiritually do it deliberately and faithfully. And they do it in community together with other believers, facing each other, looking each other in the eye, interacting with one another, and in contexts small enough where this can happen. Indeed, it's in small contexts like this that we do the one another's. Are you familiar with the one another's? Right? The one another's? Jesus said, love one another. John chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 3, encourage one another. Galatians chapter 5, serve one another. Ephesians chapter 4, be patient with one another. Philippians chapter 2, honor one another. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, build up one another. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, said this about the one another's. He said, over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used. We're commanded in the New Testament to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, teach one another, accept one another, honor one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, and be devoted to one another. These are the family responsibilities that God expects us to fulfill through the local fellowship. And then he asks the question, are you doing these? And he continues, it may seem easier to be holy when no one else is around to frustrate your preferences. But that is a false, untested holiness. Isolation, he says, breeds deceit. And it's easy to fool ourselves into thinking that we are spiritually mature if there's no one around to challenge us. But real maturity emerges where relationships exist, Warren says. And the key, by the way, to the one another idea is reciprocation. You invest in me, I invest in you. And so church life isn't just about gathering together to get something. Rather, it's just as much about gathering together to give something. And those who are growing spiritually are doing so because they're committed to it. And because they deliberately resist those habits that keep them from growing. The writer to the Hebrews wrote this to that Christian community to which he was writing. He says, and let us consider, here's one of the one another's, one I didn't mention. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's love. Let's do good. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day of his coming, the day of Christ's coming, as you see that day drawing near. And of course, I needn't tell you that not everyone in church is growing and maturing. And this isn't a new problem. In fact, Paul, writing to the believers at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, and he says this, and I, brothers, I couldn't address you as spiritual people. I couldn't address you as spiritual people, as maturing people. I couldn't talk to you like those kind of people. But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Now that's, you always think of an infant. Isn't that so sweet? That is not a commendation or what's the word I want? When you tell something, a compliment. Infants in Christ, babies is what he's calling them. But as a bunch of babies, he says, I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only as human in a human way? Or even the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 5 and beginning at verse 11, and about this we have much to say, but it's hard to explain it to you since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, he's saying, by this time all of you ought to be teaching this stuff. For by this time you ought to be teachers, and yet you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. And so what to do? Well, I want to invite you to work the steps. It's simple. Make step number one a priority. Worship God regularly. Come and learn. And then add step two, grow together faithfully. There's all kinds of opportunities for this. Not so many weeks ago, we had a wonderful Lenten series, and that was well attended, and we listened to some teaching, and then we discussed together, and we shared bits and pieces of our lives together. And so take advantage of such opportunities. Bring your kids to Holy Cross Children, that's a small group, and to Holy Cross Youth. Go to Holy Cross Men or Holy Cross Women. And you know what? Well, you say, well, I can't go to any of those. Okay, well, look at your own calendar and maybe pick somebody, a friend or two, and invite them to go to coffee and make your own small group and spend regular time together, studying the Word. Do African Bible study. There's a description of how to do it. It's extremely simple and extremely effective. You can find that out in the gathering space. And when you first gather together, check in with each other and then study a short piece of scripture. One, maybe, you know, the one. Take the ones off of your mirror and start there. Start with those. And study together and then pray for one another. And then watch what God does, because you're serious about growing in your faith. And so step one in the process is to worship God regularly. And step two in the process is to grow together faithfully. And if you're practicing step one, we'll see you next week and look at the third step. But the one that we're considering today is growing together faithfully. Amen? Amen. Let us pray, Lord. There's so many hints that we might miss about how important this is to you. We mentioned one, that your very nature is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then the Father so loves the world that he sends the Son, and the Son takes on our humanity and becomes one of us. And enter into an ivory tower and climb the top of the steps. But he lives among us, and he laughs with us, and he cries with us, and he teaches us about the way things really are. And then, because sin is a problem and it keeps us from you, he takes those sins upon himself. I'm breathtaking, isn't it, the words of Paul, Lord? And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And then you say to us, and so now you be with one another the way we're with one another. Serve one another. Even as we read, Lord Jesus, and you washed the disciples' feet, and you said, now, you see, that's the model. And so be with one another, invest in one another, and grow in Christ-likeness. Help us, Lord, to catch a vision of it, and catching a vision of it, determining that we will pursue it, so that it is more than a vision, but becomes a reality, not only in our lives, but in the lives with those with whom we meet, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.